cross and our God reigns. How does that tie together? We know today that's because of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. The resurrection. We've been seeing as the kings of Israel were imperfect, they let us down. The people will do that. Human kingdoms are not going to be perfect ever. It's a fallen world we live in, with fallen people. And then Jesus Christ came and he entered in and he had that wonderful, amazing, triumphal entry into Jerusalem. And then the story continued. It was not a good week. The very people who welcomed him in Jerusalem turned on him, and the religious leaders and the Pharisees stirred up the rest of the Jewish people. We find Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane crying out to his Father in anguish. The Last Supper, sharing with the disciples, he's carried away to the kangaroo courts and tried and found innocent, but and pronounced guilty anyway. They tortured him, beat him. The people rejected him, the very people that he had ministered with and to and among, and they called for a nasty criminal to be released instead of Jesus. Brought up before Pilate, condemned to death, beaten, abused, spit on, taken to the cross, nailed there and die. His blood poured out, his precious blood poured out for the sins of mankind. Really helps us understand life, doesn't it? It connects to life in a real way. And I think part of what was going on with the children of Israel at this time when Jesus was alive was certainly something that we struggle with. They didn't quite understand the big picture, the full picture of what God was doing in the world yet. But nonetheless, and so they couldn't really see and understand the cross the way that we do today. But even in their day, you can imagine what it would be like to be one of his disciples, one of his followers, and then to have everything kind of come to an end like that. It connects to life. And really, the cross, we should never miss this. It's a good picture of what sin looks like, isn't it? And we live in this world that's just broken, and at this point in history, I suppose it always has been, but it's just so saturated with sin. And the things that God calls in his word abomination, I mean, these are just horrible things. It's just widely accepted and even celebrated in our world today. But when we see the cross, when we see our Creator, our God, hanging there, beaten and tortured, and parts of his body's skin completely removed, and his blood dripping down to the point where he lost so much blood, there's nothing but water left, we can understand what God thinks of sin, how he sees it. And as we live here and as we live amongst each other and as we experience this world and we see the brokenness of it in lives and how people are so willing to hurt each other and to kill each other and to just be ungodly with each other, we understand that. We understand that the cross is a clear and vivid illustration of sin. Sin does nothing but destroy. And that's what the horror of the cross is about. It's destructive. Good application for us today before we even dig in, isn't it? Don't be fiddling around with sin. There's nothing good that comes of it. Look at what Christ went through. But today, that was last week, right? Today, we remember the resurrection. See, that's not the end of the story. Praise God. The cross was not the end of the story. The Savior went to the cross. He died. He paid the penalty, but he rose again. God rose him from the dead. He is alive. He is not a dead and dying constantly or suffering constantly Savior. He is alive. He rose. But if you were a Jewish person living in Jerusalem at the time, Jesus rose, you were pretty excited about it if you're one of his followers, right? Yeah, all right, he rose. I get it now. But then guess what he did? He went up to heaven. wait a minute, you're the king, right? You already had your triumphal entry. You're the king. You're supposed to reign now. Come sit on the throne, kick these Romans out of here, right? Get back to our program, right? Okay, we didn't understand our program, but now you can get back to our program. No, that wasn't what he was about doing, was it? He rose, and then he was there for 50 days, and then he went to heaven. And so the great king didn't stay to reign. Interesting. That tells me that there is, and we'll see this in the text that we get into today. You can turn to Isaiah 11 with me. That he is going to come back and set up his earthly kingdom one day. The great king will be coming to reign, but it's just not right now. And again, just a sort of a side thing is, he rose and he left someone here with his mission, right? It's you, right? His church is here with his mission. The things that he did, the things that we saw him do, that's what we're supposed to be about doing today. Doing his work, spreading his message, helping people, getting into the lives of people, teaching people, loving each other. Jesus Christ is the great king, but not yet on his earthly throne. That kingdom is yet to come. Let's read Isaiah 11, verses 1 through 9 together. There shall come forth a rod from the stem of Jesse, and a branch shall grow out of his roots. The Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of knowledge and the fear of the Lord. His delight is in the fear of the Lord, and he shall not judge by the sight of his eyes, nor decide by the hearing of his ears, but with righteousness he shall judge the poor, and decide with equity for the meek of the earth. He shall strike the earth with the rod of his mouth, and with the breath of his lips he shall slay the wicked. Righteousness shall be the belt of his loins, and faithfulness the belt of his waist. The wolf also shall dwell with the lamb, and the leopard shall lie down with the young goat, and the calf and the young lion, the fatling together, and the little child shall lead them. The cow and bear shall graze, their young ones shall lie down together, and the ox shall eat straw, and the lion shall eat straw like the ox. The nursing child shall play by the cobra's hole, and the weaned child shall put his hand in the viper's den. They shall not hurt nor destroy in all my holy mountain, for the earth shall be full of the knowledge of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. Amen. Looking forward to that day. Let's pray together. God, our Father, again, we are humbled and rejoicing in the truth of the gospel and the resurrection. That God, Jesus Christ came, and he came on your program and to do your will, Father. That he came and lived among us and showed us how to live, identifies with us, died on the cross, but then rose again. That God, he is now in heaven, sitting at your right hand, but will come again one day soon to set up his earthly kingdom. And what a joy that will be. We're looking forward to that day when he comes. God, help us as we live in this brokenness yet. God, we know that we are here with left by our Savior with his mission to do. And I just pray that you'd help us as we try to live that out. God, Jesus Christ is risen and he has ascended. He is with us even now in spirit, God, that we can bear fruit and do your will. Pray for us, God, as we look into this very encouraging passage today. God, to be minded towards change, to be hopeful in the future, and God, to be really energized to go out of here in the power of your spirit, God, and the truth of your word, being faithful ministers to share the glorious truth we've been entrusted with. In Jesus' name, amen. Again, you can imagine what it would be like to be a person living in that time of Jesus and the oppression of the Roman government. 400 years of foreign occupation, God hadn't spoken, the Messiah comes. And it could be very disheartening to have your Messiah, your king, go up to heaven instead of staying there and reigning. But God, had his plan. And that day is coming when Jesus Christ will come again and reign bodily from Jerusalem. We're going to see this in this text. We're going to tear into this a little bit this morning. This is interesting stuff and always encouraging for me to think about what we call end of times things. You know, that's not really a good word or statement, end of times, because the end of things or whatever, because even what we talk about this morning, which is going to be, we're talking about the millennial kingdom of Jesus Christ when he reigns bodily, that's not the end of it all. We were planning, and I don't even know what's going to happen now, to have a prophecy conference in October. I was really looking forward to that. You know, just talking about what the Bible has to say about the tribulation period and when the Antichrist will be here and all of those kind of things. Very interesting. And talk about heaven and Christ's second coming and all that. Put it together very systematically. And a friend of ours, Gary Candlish, was going to be the speaker for that event. Loved Gary. He was a great brother. And had a ministry to Jewish people in Tennessee. And then he took tours to Israel and everything. Our brother Gary died on Friday. I don't know how old he was, but he had about teenage-ish daughter, so he was probably, you know, 50, 55 years old, had a heart attack and died. So I don't know what's going to happen with our prophecy conference right now. It's just sort of tabled, and we'll see what we're going to do on that. But kind of interesting, you know, I guess I was thinking about it today. The last post that Gary put on Facebook was about the cross. It was very interesting, and then he died that day. Isn't that something? That would be a good thing to post, right? Something about Jesus Christ, and then you died that day, all right? Isn't that all right? Yeah. It's sad. Death is bad. It's sad when you lose a brother and a friend, but he's in heaven. You know, the sorrow is mixed with joy because we'll get to see our brother again, and he knows all about prophecy now, doesn't he? I'm sure he has a much deeper understanding now than he did a few days ago. But this is kind of what we're talking about today, this coming kingdom of the great king. Verse 1 here, there shall come forth a rod from the stem of Jesse, and a branch shall grow out of his roots. The coming of the great king, that's Jesus Christ talking about there, fulfilling the Davidic covenant. You may remember in our study of the kings that God had promised David that there would be one from him that would reign. And of course, God knew that that was going to have to be Jesus Christ ultimately. And he fulfilled that, literally, will one day fulfill that during the millennial kingdom. And we're not going to really flesh this point out today because it's not in our purposes today. We're just talking about the great king and his kingdom. But the millennial kingdom, when Jesus comes back, this will be after the tribulation period. Jesus will come back bodily, and he will literally and bodily reign from Jerusalem for 1,000 years. And so that's the great king's kingdom that is coming. Isaiah 9, 6 through 7, just a couple chapters back. Very interesting because this is very often used at Christmas time, and I think that's okay, and of course it's okay. But really, this points more towards Jesus and his government or his rule than it does his coming. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders. His name will be Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace there will be no end. Upon the throne of David and over his kingdom, to order it and to establish it with judgment and justice from that time forward, even forevermore. So again, talking about Jesus Christ reigning bodily from Jerusalem, literally. Now look at chapter 11 with me again. There's a few things about the coming kingdom that are good for us to know today. Verses 2 and 3 is it's going to be a glorious kingdom. It's going to be a wonderful kingdom. Before we really dig into that, go ahead and look there and read those verses. I'll read them again. But let's think about this a little bit before we just dig right into this. Because I think this is even, to me, this is even more rich than we're going to get today. We're going to look at some other prophets as well. During Isaiah's time, this was a little later in the kingdom of Israel. And so this was getting close to it's about over. You got Isaiah, you got a few other minors, you got Jeremiah, and then Ezekiel after the carrying away. This was a pretty dark time. Now, as we saw in the Kings, there was really no time in Israel when it wasn't a pretty dark time, right? But this was a pretty dark time for them, okay? This is ungodliness is ruling and reigning. It's, you know, the kings are idolaters and they're promoting idolatry and they're setting up these horrible pagan practices in the country. Widespread people sacrificing their children by burning them alive to somehow appease some pagan deity. I mean, it's a horrible time to be alive. Righteousness was not even a blip on the radar screen. That's the point. Okay, this is an ungodly time, an ungodly nation. And Isaiah, for the prophet, and he comes on and he's like pointing us forward to the great king and his kingdom. This is going to be glorious. This is going to be awesome because all of these ungodly kings are gone. It's going to be righteousness that's going to reign. The Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him, the Spirit of wisdom and counsel and might and the Spirit of the knowledge of the Lord. His delight is the fear of the Lord. He shall not judge by the sight of his eyes nor decide by hearing of his ears. He's going to know. His judgment will be perfect. Right? There's not going to be any good lawyers that are going to be able to pull one over on Jesus during this time, right? No. He's going to judge perfectly and righteously. Jeremiah, in verse 9 there, they shall not hurt nor destroy in all my holy mountain. The earth shall be full of the knowledge of the Lord as waters cover the sea. God will be almost universally followed during this time. There'll just be a widespread following of God during this millennial kingdom. Jeremiah 31:31 through 34. Behold, the days are coming. Now, this is even later, all right? Even maybe a little bit darker time. It's just kind of everything's funneling down to the end during Jeremiah's ministry. It was really when everything kind of just completely ceased in Israel. Behold, the days are coming, says the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel, with the house of Judah, not according to the covenant I made with their fathers in that day that I took them by the hand to lead them out of Egypt, my covenant which they broke, though I was a husband to them, says the Lord. Wow. Right? I mean, that's pretty awesome. But look what he says. But this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, says the Lord. I will put my law in their minds. I will write on their hearts. I will be their God, and they will be my people. No more shall every man teach his neighbor and every man his brother, saying, know the Lord, for they all shall know me, from the least of them to the greatest of them, says the Lord. For I will forgive their iniquity, and their sin will remember no more. It's going to be an awesome place. And everybody's going to be pulling, you know, a majority of the people are going to be pulling in the same direction. It's going to be about following the Lord, serving the Lord. People are going to care about righteousness. People are going to be loving on each other. People are going to be rejoicing together, not serving themselves. Think about how glorious that's going to be. What a wonderful place that's going to be to live. Christ himself will be ruling and reigning. His government will be perfect. With righteousness he shall judge the poor, decide with equity for the meek of the earth. He shall strike the earth with the rod of his mouth. With the breath of his lips he shall slay the wicked. Righteousness shall be the belt of his loins, and faithfulness the belt of his waist. Perfect. That's going to be pretty good, isn't it? You ever get wronged? A government ever do you wrong? Yes, I don't even remember anything, but yes, right? Court systems ever let anybody down? Judgment, anything like that ever happen? Of course it does. It happens daily. Are people ever doing backroom deals and shady things and manipulating things, take advantage of the poor or whatever? Of course they do. If you got money, can you get off scot-free many times? Of course you can. Not during Jesus' government. He will judge righteously. Everything will be just. The wicked will be punished. You say, well, that sounds a little bit harsh. No. That's the right thing to do. That's to happen. The wicked need to be punished. The wicked need to be held accountable for the things that they do. Otherwise, you get the mess that we live in now, right? Jesus Christ in his government, it will not be so. It'll be perfect. Justice will reign, righteousness. It's going to be a great place to live. It's going to be fun. You're going to be able to go out in the middle of the night, not even look over your shoulder in the worst part of town, right? Isn't that going to be pretty sweet? I mean, just the normal things that can be fearful in this world are going to be gone. Despot governments, guess how long they're going to be around? No way, right? No way. Not with Jesus Christ sitting on the throne. It's going to be a glorious and wonderful thing, this millennial kingdom. His government will be perfect. It's going to be a very peaceful time. Righteousness, wisdom, all of those things, justice, very peaceful, verses 6 through 9. Very interesting passage here. The wolf will lie down with the lamb. The leopard will lie down with the young goat. The calf and the young lion and the fatling together. And a little child shall lead them. The cow and the bear shall graze, their young ones shall lie down together, and the lion shall eat grass, shall eat straw like the ox. The nursing child shall play by the cobra's hole, the weaned child shall put his hand in the viper's den. They shall not hurt nor destroy in all my holy mountain, for the earth shall be full of the knowledge of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. Pretty awesome. It's going to be a peaceful place to live. The way that the world operates is going to change. The way that things happen in this world are going to change. You can have a pet lion or cobra if you really want one. The point is, it's going to be peaceful. It's going to be wonderful. The terrors of this world, they'll be gone. You know, would you go out in the savannas of Africa and start walking around the tall grass by yourself? Probably not, right? It wouldn't be very smart. He'd probably be dead. But when Jesus comes, the way that the world operates is going to be completely changed. Peace is going to be the rule instead. Instead of terror, instead of fear, instead of all of this death and destruction that characterizes everything that goes on in our world, peace. They'll no longer hurt nor destroy in all of my holy mountain. That's going to be wonderful. Isaiah 65, you want to turn back a little. Verses 17 through 25. Behold, I create new heavens and new earth, and the former shall not be remembered nor come to mind. But be glad and rejoice forever in what I create. For behold, I create Jerusalem as rejoicing and her people as a joy. I will rejoice over Jerusalem and my people. The voice of weeping shall no longer be heard in her, nor the voice of crying. Nor no more shall an infant from child live up. No longer shall an infant from there live but a few days, nor an old man who has not fulfilled his days, for the child shall die 100 years old. But the sinner, being 100 years old, shall be accursed. They shall build houses and inhabit them. They shall plant vineyards and eat their fruit. They shall not build and another inhabit. They shall not plant and another eat. For as the days of a tree, so shall be the days of my people. And the elect shall long enjoy the work of their hands. They shall not labor in vain, nor bring forth children for trouble. For they shall be descendants of the blessed of the Lord, and of their offspring, and their offspring with them. It shall come to pass that before they call, I will answer. And while they are speaking, I will hear. The wolf and the lamb shall feed together. The lion shall eat straw like an ox. The dust shall be the serpent's food. They shall not hurt nor destroy in all my holy mountain. The repeated phrase there says the Lord. It's going to be a pretty awesome thing. People that don't follow the Lord, they're not going to enjoy all the blessings, but they're going to enjoy many of them. But those that know the Lord, even death is not going to be there anymore. They're going to have long life. Children, you're 100 years old, you're still a child during the millennial kingdom. Isaiah 66, 22. For as the heavens and new earth, which I will make, 23, it shall come to pass that from one new moon to the other, from one Sabbath to another, all flesh shall come and worship before me. It's going to be a whole time of just many of the people, or most of the people in the world following the Lord and righteousness and all of that. Just the point is, it's going to be awesome. It's really something to look forward to. And really, that's the message that we get from the kings. I think that's just encapsulated the message. God was their God. He was their king. He took them up out of, and that's, by the way, that's in Isaiah 11. We're going to see something here that's kind of interesting. He took them up out, set Moses up as their leader, but he was supposed to be their king. They were supposed to lead him. They didn't want that. Then they rebelled. They had the time of the judges up and down. Then they said, look, just give us a king. So they gave him a human king. That didn't go so well. And all of a sudden they're on this like downward funneling track to destruction because they weren't following the Lord. And we can see illustrated that we can't live life without him. He is the king. He's the one that needs to reign and rule in our lives, every one of our lives, every day. And his plan is perfect. This world is broken. We're not going to have anywhere close to the amount of peace, joy, happiness, comfort. Hey, nothing wrong with a little comfort every now and again, right? Until the great king comes and reigns. And his kingdom is going to be an absolutely amazing place. It's something to really look forward to. Verse 11, there is a, well, just kind of past ours there, but look at this with me. It shall come to pass in that day that the Lord shall set his hand again the second time to recover the remnant of his people who are left. From Assyria, from Egypt, from Pathros and Cush and Elam and Shinar and Hamath and the islands of the sea. It's very interesting to me as you think about that. Because the people had not been restored yet. Right? And this is long before, they're not even completely done yet. This is long before the restoration of Nehemiah and Ezra and all that, where he brought them back into the land. And he says, a second time I'm going to restore the people. Isn't that interesting? So this is God, again, just pointing us forward. Look, just keep your eyes on what I am doing. Keep your eyes on how I am going to work and live among you and how you're going, what the future is for you. It's an amazing kingdom. Now, as I said earlier, this is not the end of the story either, which is pretty cool. And some of these verses, some of these prophetic verses like 66, 22, and 23, and even the one that we read earlier in Isaiah 65, there's a little bit where it's kind of hard to understand if he's talking about the heaven, the final kingdom of the great king, or the millennial kingdom. And I think the answer to that is yes. Okay? Both, a lot of times. It kind of intermingles there. But there is an ultimate kingdom coming. Jesus Christ is going to reign here, bodily, in Jerusalem, from Jerusalem, not from Cedar Rapids, from Jerusalem, for 1,000 years. But then that's not the end of the story either. He's gonna then remake totally the whole heavens and the earth. And so that all of the sin, that's why 65 isn't talking about heaven, because there's still sin and sinners in there. But he's going to remake it completely, perfect. There won't be any more sin anymore. It'll be gone. And so as glorious as the millennial kingdom is going to be and how things are going to be remade and the animals aren't going to hurt people anymore and all that stuff, there's even a more glorious and awesome future for his people. And does that get you excited? Think about how amazing it's going to be to live during the millennial kingdom. Is that not going to be amazing? Jesus Christ reigning, righteousness, peace, no more terror, wonderful place to live. That's not even the best, right? That's not even good enough, right? God is going to make it even better. He's going to take all sin out and all sinners are going to be removed. There's not even going to be a chance for someone to do something wrong because we're going to be perfect. We're going to be made holy like him. Isaiah 65:17. Again, there's some cross over there. I create new heavens and a new earth. 66:22. For as the new heavens and earth which I shall make remain before me, so shall your descendants remain. Hebrews 10. Hebrews 1, 10 to 12, you, Lord, in the beginning laid the foundations of the earth and the heavens, the work of your hands. They will perish, but you remain. They will all grow old like a garment, and that's what this earth is doing. Like a cloak you will fold them up, and they will be changed, but you are the same. Your years will not fail. He's talking about then the earth is going to be done. Revelation 21 talks about how he is going to remake the new heavens and earth. I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and earth had passed away. Also, there was no more sea. Then I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people. God himself will be with them and be their God. And God will wipe away every tear from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, nor sorrow, nor crying. There shall be no more pain, for the former things have passed away. And he who sat on the throne said, Behold, I make all things new. Write, for these words are true and faithful. It's not the end. You have the millennial kingdom, and then God is going to remake the heavens and the earth completely new, and there will be no more death, no more sin. Everything will be perfect. We will be able to see God the Father face to face. He will take his throne from where it is now, what Paul called the third heaven, place of God's throne, and he's going to place it on the new heavens and the earth, and there's really only going to be one place for everyone to be, and that's it. So there's not even, you know, right now we understand that there is no spiritual separation in Christ, right? If you are in Christ, you are no longer spiritually separated from God the Father. If you have placed your faith and trust in him, you are his child. But today, I can't go to God's house, right? I can't just go over and see him. When he puts his temple on the new heavens and earth, we will be there in his presence physically. That's pretty awesome. And he will be there. It's going to be an absolutely glorious place to be. His throne will be there. Revelation 22 continues that. God, I will be their God, he says, and they will be my people. I will be their God. And it says in the Bible that he is our friend. And he is our king. Now, what will he move to the New Jerusalem if you're still in Revelation there? God will move his throne. Isn't that interesting? The great king's kingdom ultimately ends in heaven. And that is a kingdom that's forever. Forever and ever we will be with him. The place of perfect peace, joy, righteousness. It's going to be amazing. Now, if you're here today, you realize that this is Resurrection Sunday, then you may even be thinking to yourself, this is pretty good, it's glorious stuff, but what in the world does it have to do with the resurrection, right? There is a resurrection connection to all of this stuff about the kings of Israel and the coming kingdom and kingdoms of Jesus Christ. Turn to John 14. Turn to John 14 in your Bibles. And this is Jesus talking to his disciples just before the cross, just before the horrors of the week of the cross that we talked about earlier. John 14. Jesus said, "Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also." Now again, walk back with me through that time when these scriptures were given to us. Jesus' disciples and many of the Jewish people understood the Messiah. They got that part. God's going to send a Messiah. But they understood the Messiah in almost purely human terms, or maybe purely in human terms, that he was just going to be a king and he was going to set up his kingdom. And they liked that because it's not a fun time to be a Roman, be a Jewish person in the Roman government and all that. And they wanted freedom and they wanted prosperity and they wanted all that stuff. But Jesus didn't come for that purpose, right? He had the Father's will to do. Now, if we look down, what would have been better, right? A good, strong Israel and a bunch of prospering Jewish people, or salvation for anyone who will put their trust in Christ? Well, of course, duh, right? I mean, you know, God's plan is perfect. But the things that they believed about the Messiah were actually true. They were just not right now. You get that? You see that? It's true. Yes, he's going to reign. It's just not right now. And so he's telling his disciples before he even goes to the cross, don't be so anxious. Don't be so worried about it. Well, there's a pretty good application for us today too, right? Huh? Don't be so anxious today. Don't be so worried today. God's got his plan. He's working it out. Right? He's not consulting you for ideas. He knows what he's doing. His plan is perfect. He's working it out. But don't be so anxious, because even though I'm going to go, even though I'm not here reigning, even though the great King's kingdom is not set up today, I'm coming back. I'm coming back. I'm going to go, and I'm not just going to sit around while I'm gone. I'm making a place for you. Wow. Think about that. Think about that today, people. If you know Jesus Christ as your Savior, he is today preparing a place for you. He is preparing a place. And he said, since I'm preparing a place for you, I'm not doing it because I'm dumb. Because I'm preparing a place for you, I'm coming back to get you. Right? See, God's purpose, he's working it out. Trust me, is what he's telling his disciples there. I go to prepare a place. If I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again. And so the resurrection connection with this whole thing about Jesus Christ reigning is just right there. He's coming again. His hope in his future kingdom. There, hope, it's a positive expectation, right? The English word hope, we say it all the time, right? But it's really lame and weak, isn't it? Oh, I hope so. Boy, I hope he's coming again. No, that isn't it at all. It's hope. It's a positive expectation of what is going to happen. Christ is coming again. There is real hope in that. He promised. He promised he's going to come. He's going to reign. You can trust him. Hope in him. Get excited. Be fired up today. Boy, of all days. Be fired up. If you're a believer, if you have trusted Jesus Christ, be smiling today. Think about it. Wow, what is coming? What's coming down the pike for me? That's pretty good stuff, right? No matter what happens in this life. You know, our brother Candlish's family, they're sad today, aren't they? They're sad. But guess what? They're not that sad. You know why? They get to see him again. And they know where he's at. He's in that place with his Savior right now. There's real hope. Get excited. Look forward to the coming kingdom. I think it would do us good as God's people to complain less about the government and be a lot more excited about the coming government. Don't you? Don't you agree? Does our complaining about the government really accomplish all that much? Not really. It's something good to be anxious about, maybe. As Jesus said, don't be anxious. Wouldn't it be better for us? I'm not saying don't be concerned or don't be engaged in what's going on. Yeah, we got to do that, right? This is a government that God has placed us in. But wait a minute here. If all we want to do is be anxious about it and complain about it all the time and how they let us down, I got an answer for you. Duh, right? They're sinners. They make mistakes. Even the ones that try their hardest are not going to make everybody happy. Be more excited about the coming government of our great King. Be fired up about that. Look forward to that government. And today, trust him. Do not let your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. Did you hear that? Do not let your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. Well, that's the essence of life right there. That is the essence of life. You believe in God, good. Believe also in me. Life is about learning and growing and trusting the great King. He has given us so many promises. He has shown himself to be faithful. I was just having a discussion with about a guy this week about this, and he doesn't want to trust the Bible because he says he wants to trust his experiences. Well, wait a minute. My question was, what are you going to do when your experience changes next week? You know, your view is going to change. But it's not that we have to take the Bible by faith because there's no other way to take it. But God has proven himself to be faithful at the same time. Trust in this God. He can do a lot better job ordering and taking care of your life than you can. Trust him as Savior if you never have. Wow. You believe in God, believe also in me. Trust him as your Savior. Enter into a relationship with him. be part of his family, get on God's program, and be looking forward to this time forever. The kingdom, you get to be one of the people there forever if you trust Jesus Christ as your Savior. It's an awesome thing. What a great day to do that. Resurrection Sunday. He is risen just like he said. The sacrifice was accepted. The penalty has been paid. You can be right with God. You can turn your life over to him. You can live for him. You can have the kind of joy that only comes from living under the good rule of the great kid. I remember a friend of mine once, they're having testimony time. It was just shortly after I met him, and he joined the church and he was giving testimony. And his testimony to me was awesome because he said, someone shared the gospel with me, and I thought, well, who wouldn't do that? Right? I mean, that's just a logical response. Of course, yes. Of course I would have a relationship with God. Yes. Right? Why do people always say it's hard, he would say later? It's not. It's just a common sense. Trust the great king today. And grow in trusting him. If you're one of his children today, if you've done that, if you're a believer, it's the essence of life. You believe in God, do not be anxious. If you believe in God, believe also in me. It's about trusting Jesus Christ as Savior. Get excited and hopeful about heaven. Look forward to the wonderful future that we have. Trust the King. Let's pray together. God, we do so look forward to that day. God, this world does contain a lot of joys. There's no doubt about it. As broken as it is, it's still not too bad for most of us here anyway. And God, it's a wonder even to think about how you are yet preserving and being patient with people in general, in spite of the fact that so many care so little about you. God, in that we can see your graciousness, that Christ came and died, knowing the response of people. But God, we know also that you have, in your grace, chosen many for salvation, and what a joy that is as well. God, I pray that for your people, you'd help us to live in light of these truths. Sometimes this world isn't fun to live in, sometimes it's very difficult. But this isn't the end of the story. God, you're still at work. You're still working out your program. Your earthly kingdom is coming in future. And God, it's going to be an amazing time to be one of yours. And so I pray that you'd help us live in that confident expectation as your children. That, God, we would continually look forward to that time when things are restored, when justice reigns, when, God, truth is held high in high esteem and not the opinions of people. And God, where we don't have to be so concerned or even terrified about ungodly people doing terrible and ungodly things, because your government will be a just government and evildoers will be punished. God, as your people today, help us as we go out into the community and interact, and as we talk with people, to have just the words of grace and truth, God, as we share about the resurrection. God, Jesus Christ is risen. He is a risen Savior. And God, the life that you have for people, it is the good life. God, your good rule is a good rule. It is perfect. It is wonderful as we submit to you. And so, God, that we would have a clear testimony, and that, God, the words of our lips would also be those that profess the joy of knowing you. In Jesus' name.